In order to know what value to give various things in this life, it helps to know not just so much what they're worth now, but what they might be worth later in the future. This is the whole secret of the stock market, to buy low and sell high. You want to find the stocks and investments now that people don't realize how important they're going to become in the future. And so you buy them cheap, and eventually they get very expensive, and you're able to make your investment increase. Of course, what you don't want to do is find something that everyone thinks is really important right now and invest in it, only to find out in the future that, in fact, it was worthless, and your investment loses all its value. Similar is the way we have to go about then appraising the value that we give to everything in this world in light of the spiritual life. What will be the ultimate end of this entire material world? That's really what our second reading is about today from the book of Revelation. It gives us, as it were, insider trading information. It gives us a vision of the future through St. John, who shows us how everything ends up in the end. He says famously, "I see a new heavens and a new earth, and the former heavens and the former earth have passed away." Well, that's helpful information for us to know as we go through the world right now. Because you see, there's really two kind of problems that we could run into. One would be to value this world and this creation too little. And the other would be to value it too much, not keeping with the end of all things, the vision of where it's going. For instance, if we were to value this world too little, to have an idea, as is actually a heresy, the idea that somehow our bodies even, who we are, all this world is just bad. Some of the Gnostics even go so far as to say this was all created by an evil God. All this material world, it's evil. We're good, but we're trapped in our bodies. Our bodies are bad, the world's bad. And therefore, the end that they hope for is that in the end we leave our bodies. We get to leave this world, all this material junk behind. We get to escape to heaven where it's just pure spirit, pure immaterial. Well, that is not correct. That is to value God's creation too little. God, yes, he took matter and he created all this. And because God created it, it's good. We see in the book of Genesis that God says everything he created is good. So we can't look on this world as if it's bad, as if it's just a prison to be escaped. Now there is certainly a tendency at times, particularly when things are not going well, to think that way. As we look at all the pain and suffering in the world and everything that seems to go wrong, people get sick who just seem to be doing good things, children get sick, families fall apart, there's all this tumult and strife in the world, it would be easy to say, this world looks bad. I long for the day when I can leave this world and be free of it and go to heaven. We have to be careful we don't go too far in that direction. God created all this and he has his purpose for it. It is good and will bring about our good, even if it looks like suffering in the cross in the midst of it. But the opposite would also be true. We can't allow this world to become the central focus of our life as if that's all there were. That's why John's vision is so important. He tells us that this world is passing away, but it's going to be recreated. In heaven, it's not like there's no world. He doesn't say that there is no earth, that there is no sky. No, he says those things are there, but they're new. God, just as he created in the world in the beginning, refashions it. It's as if he takes this world that, yes, has all these problems, and he fixes it and makes it perfect. That's why we can't abandon this world, but we also can't overemphasize it, because it is passing away. If we were to pretend that this world is all there is and put all our stock in this world, well, we will be disappointed, because this world does, in fact, pass away in the end. And all of our material possessions, all the power, everything we try to gain, that's not ultimately what lasts. Not at all. In fact, everything that we could possibly try to gain in this world to make ourselves increase, to be more important, more powerful, to get more pleasure, all that goes away. None of that lasts into heaven. It all passes away. So we have to live our life in this kind of balance, fixed on the reality of heaven, knowing that everything that is good in this life will be transformed and taken up into the new heavens and the new earth. Everything that is bad will be wiped out. It says every tear is wiped away. We should rightly, therefore, long for heaven. That's the whole point of Jesus' resurrection. It's the point of the Easter season, to get us with our eyes fixed on where we're going and what that ultimately means. Now, they say that a good preacher should preach the gospel with the Bible in one hand and the New York Times in the other. I don't necessarily recommend the New York Times, but take popular culture, if you were, on the other hand. And at the risk of seeming completely irrelevant, I couldn't help but be somewhat at least having to notice the reports this last couple days of the death of the famous pop singer Prince. Oh, good. Somebody at least knows what I'm talking about, because I'm at Catholic University, and everybody there, I realized really quick, is too young to even know who Prince was. Now, I run the risk here. A lot of you may be too old to know or even care who Prince was. But at the risk of seeming a little bit irrelevant, I grew up with 80s and 90s pop music, so I couldn't help but get into that a little bit. I grew up with a lot of music around my family. I play trumpet. I love music and listen to all kinds of music, and so I'm certainly familiar with Prince's music. I also remember thinking, he is a crazy dude. He was always weird. And that's maybe part of the curse of being so creative, but everyone has been, one of my classmates is from Minneapolis, and Minneapolis is, of course, where Prince is from, and everything's purple, purple bridges, and because his famous song is Purple Rain, and I got curious because, as is often the case with someone who's a little crazy, the lyrics of the songs aren't always exactly obvious, and you don't want to look too deeply into Prince's lyrics because it's probably why I didn't listen a whole lot when I was young, because most of his lyrics are about sex. But I wanted to know, what is the song Purple Rain about? Because everybody's singing Purple Rain. Well, it's interesting. If you go to Wikipedia, the official source, no doubt, of Prince, it said that Prince was quoted as saying, Purple Rain. Well, that's when there's blood in the sky, referring to the book of Revelation, when you take the red and the red blood, the blue sky, and you get purple. Oh. And he says that it's being with the one you love at the end of the world and knowing that you've got God and your faith to get you through the purple rain. Oh, well, okay. And I looked, and Prince did have a little bit of a religious side to him. And I thought that was interesting, that mix. You take the blood, the red, the book of Revelation, the tumult, the struggle, all the strife, and the beauty of creation, the blue sky, and you put that together and you get purple. And isn't that an interesting kind of mix of how we, in fact, live this life in that mix of things? And as interestingly Prince puts it, being with the one you love and your faith in God to get you through that time, that ambiguous mix of things that he calls purple rain. I thought that was interesting, and I couldn't help but notice then, if that's the end of things, Prince says it refers to the end of time, I thought it a little bit maybe theological that when it was released as a single, the B-side, now you all are old enough to actually know what a B-side is. The kids at CUA have no clue what a record is or why it would have a B-side. Like, do CDs have a B-side? It doesn't work. No, back when records had B-sides, you know what the song on the B-side of Purple Rain is? It's called God. And it's all about the book of Genesis. I'm like, well, that's actually pretty theological. He's got the end of all things in Purple Rain on one side and God in Genesis on the other, and he is weird, so I don't know if he even got that, but there's something to that, that isn't it true that where we're headed, the recreation of all things is really just the flip side, the B side of the original creation, as it were? God makes everything good. He makes all the creatures of this earth good. Everything is good. And the flip side is, of course, it all falls apart. It gets a little ambiguous as the red and the blue mix together and we get this purple, but we go through the purple to the recreation where everything is made right. Finally, I couldn't help one thing that even if you don't know anything about Prince and his music, I think a lot of people would recognize if they recognized anything about this story at all, is it looks like another talented, popular musician died too early from what looks like probably drug-related things. We can't help but notice how that seems to be the case just way too often, that these great talents die seemingly alone and not very happy. That is maybe a good reminder to all of us that it doesn't matter how famous, how amazing you are, how much talent you've got. Prince had all that in his own sort of way. And it wasn't enough. He still lacked. It wasn't enough. That's part of how we're supposed to live this world with a view of the next. To know that this world is not going to be enough. No matter how much we get in this world, it will not be enough. So what will last? Well, John in the gospel gives us the answer to that. He talks about when Jesus gives them a new commandment, and he says it's just one commandment, a new commandment. And that commandment is that I want you to love one another. That's how everyone will know you're my disciples. Love one another. It said at the end of his life, when John was an old man, and the young Christians would come to him and ask him for wisdom, the only thing John would say over and over was, love one another. That ultimately is something of value that lasts. Whatever price you buy that at, it only gets better and better, and it does last into the next world. You will, in fact, get a huge return on your investment if you invest your life in love. This is the essence of everything that such a great theologian like John wrote. In the end, he could only sum it up by saying, little children, love one another. That's why, as I was catching a bit of a press conference about Prince's death, the sheriff was talking. He's talking about this huge mansion that Prince lived in, Paisley Park. And he's describing their investigation and everything. And he keeps saying over and over, well, we don't know yet because this place is huge. He's just like, you got to understand, this is a really, really big place. And then one of the reporters asked a question that was very much to the point that I hadn't even thought about. But the reporter asks, this huge place that you describe, does it seem strange to you then that Prince was the only one there? That he died and there's nobody else in this house? Is that what you're saying? Not a security, not a gardener, not nobody? Isn't that weird? And it's like, yeah, the sheriff hadn't thought about it either. And he kind of had to stop and think and like, well, no, not for Prince. It was not unusual at all for him to be there alone. Brothers and sisters, we are not meant to live this life in a huge mansion, having all the material things we could ever hope for, and yet be alone. We are meant to be in communion. That's why it is so important to know where we're going. We are headed far from anything this world could give us, headed towards a communion of the saints in heaven that lasts forever, where no one is alone because we're all with Jesus. Pray that this vision of John will inspire all of us to orient our lives in this life with a view towards the next. That whatever it takes to buy in to this program of Jesus, we would do it because we know the return on our investment is huge. As they say, the retirement plan is out of this world. May we have that as our focus, even as we make our way through the awkwardness of this world that perhaps we even might describe as a purple rain.